1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
All right, so I just heard on the news that the Palestinian suicide bomber that killed those 13 Israeli soldiers today was a 10-year-old kid with explosives strapped to him. Yeah! Yeah, all right. Another winner on The Price is Right. 10 years old. Wow. Well, that's guts. Boy, the Palestinian people fighting for their homeland. Yes, fighting desperately for their little dirt-clod homeland. Strap some explosives to a 10-year-old kid. Now that takes balls. What's that? Why don't they strap some to Arafat? What are you talking about? He's the leader. He's the president. They need him. He's fantastic. He's just great. He's whatever the hell he is. I don't know, but they're going to fight for that homeland, one in which, gee, maybe one day they'll have flushing toilets. You never know. Stranger things have happened. Maybe someday they'll actually have, like, you know, cars from this century. It'll be a marvelous thing. And all born of 10-year-olds with bombs strapped to them. That's a great thing to be proud of. A great thing to be proud of. Way to go, Palestine, or whatever you call yourselves. I don't know what you are. I'll tell you one thing. It's a whole bunch of folks over there, 3 million of them, and they're not a one of them. Not a one of them got any kind of leadership. And there doesn't seem to be anybody coming out of that part of the world that's got any brains or who could pass a Rorschach. There's not one guy in the Middle East, or woman for that matter, that could pass a standard psychiatric evaluation to actually lead a country. They got sheikhs, dictators, guys with towels on their heads. They got cats that wear, you know, CIA, Army surplus, kind of colonel hats that they got out of a Cracker Jack box. They got whatever they got. I don't know what these guys are or what it is, but man, it is just something else. And the other thing about those guys in the Middle East, their armies are so good that if you start shooting back, well, then they just cave in. See, that's the reason why I got these suicide bombers, because nobody can shoot back. The problem is the Arabs don't know which end of a rifle a bullet comes out of. They got two problems over there. They don't know which end of a rifle a bullet comes out of, and they talk more than they act. So they talk about how they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and they talk about how everybody's going to be sorry if we cross them, but the only thing they can seem to muster is a 10-year-old kid with a bomb strapped to him. Now, I don't know about you, but that's an example of mothering and fathering that is just outstanding. In fact, there are days when I consider it for my own kids. And I may hasten the day when I will send my kids out in the world with bombs strapped to them. Just go anywhere, okay? Just get out of here. And when you get about 100 yards away, I'll just push this button. You notice that? These guys are really good at just sneaking into a supermarket and killing 27 people. But God forbid you should point a gun back at them. Then they run for cover. You have never seen a more cowardly crew than these so-called Arab Jihad, Palestinian Freedom Fighter, whatever they're calling themselves this week. You talk about gutless. Forget about being, you know, brave with the suicide bombings, man, because now they're strapping them to women and children. While these guys, they wouldn't know which end of the rifle the bullet came out of if you put a gun to their head. And this is the group of people that Israel's supposed to respect, and they got to pull out of the West Bank and get on back, and then there'll be peace. Yeah, right. So basically, Colin Powell's over there right now. I don't know if you heard the news, but he's over there, and he's basically said to Israel, now you bend over. I brought the Crisco, okay? Drop your pants. You'll take a railroad train up there, and then smile, okay? Oh, what a deal. All right. Here it is. That's what we're asking Israel to do. That's what Bush and Powell are asking. I knew there'd be a day that my love for Bush would wear off a little bit. Today's the day. Oh, what's that? We got to kind of play it down the middle. We got to champion Israel and Palestine. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody who buys this? Yeah, if Israel pulls back, then the Palestinians will stop the suicide bombings and everything's just going to be chill and it's going to be a real love fest. Anybody buy that? And if you don't buy that, then how could you possibly ask Israel to pull back into Israel and not stay camped out in the West Bank until every last one of these bags of crap are in a body bag or got their hands over their heads or sitting in a jail cell someplace or otherwise neutralized? I think they ought to stay there forever. And I just saw this big demonstration in Jordan today. Tell you what, why don't you guys take all the Palestinians? I thought Palestine used to be Jordan. Their queen was marching. This is a country, their last queen used to work the Space Mountain at Disney World, I think, didn't she? What, I swear to God, the last queen of Jordan worked at the Carnation ice cream stand at Disneyland. The king of Jordan came to America, and he met some girl who was working at the Country Bear Jamboree and married her. And she became the queen of Jordan. Yeah, they got some real bloodline going there, man. They really honor their monarchy there and their leadership. It really goes back centuries. They got the king, and they got the queen, who used to be handing out quarters at the Frontierland Shooting Gallery. Get out of here. Now let's move on to Iraq. What was that guy elected, or did he just blow somebody's brains out and he took over? I think that was it. Now we move on to Iran. Do they have a parliament, or is it the mullahs? Who runs that country? Something tells me it's one of those guys with a towel and a Quran and a fist in the air. And if anybody actually disagrees, even though they have this show of a sort of parliamentarian system, I think they pretty much have a 9mm put in their ear and the clip's emptied. Now let's move over to Syria. Whatever. Now down to Egypt. They've had the same president for 20 years. Does that guy, are there term limits down there? This guy Mubarak has been the president since when? 1843? I mean, nobody dies down there. They've been president for thousands of years. Okay, now what else? Who am I missing? Saudi Arabia. What a treat. All those guys walking around like it's still a freaking 19th, like it's Lawrence of Arabia. What do they think they are? Arabian? You know, that whole regal thing with the bed sheets, good for you, man. What are you? You're a sheikh. You're a king. Your son is also the ambassador. You got a cousin who's the oil minister. You got a nephew who is the head of finance. Your wife is the head of the internal security. Your son is that there's not one guy in the government over there that isn't related to another guy. That's just one family running everything. Which is not a bad idea if you're a member of their extended family. And they got all the oil. And all Saudi Arabia has done for the last 10 years is stick a knife in our back every chance they got. So they're a real good friend. What's the difference between the mafia and the Saudi royal family? It's all family, ain't it? All those Saudi Arabians have done for 10 years is stick a knife in our back. So now what are we doing? Now we got Powell and Bush down there, and we're making nice with all of them. We're making nice so that the Israelis will pull back and the Palestinians can do what they do best, strap bombs to kids. That's what they do best. We've been trying to figure out what they do best. That's what they do best. They strap a bomb to a 10-year-old kid. You want to know why the 13 Israeli soldiers died? Because the Israeli soldiers have been trained not to shoot at 10-year-old kids. I don't care what you've been told, and I don't care what you heard, and I don't care how on the right side of the issue you want to be. If you don't recognize that what Israel is doing right now is an absolute fight to the death to survive, then you're gutless. What, are you afraid of World War III? What do you think we're in right now? We're in World War III. This thing started back on 9/11, and baby, we ain't seen the end of this, man. It's going to be a long one. I'll tell you when you're going to start coming around to Israel's point of view. And when I say you, I'm just talking about the general people out there who, you know, want to play this thing real fair. You want to know when we're going to start understanding Israel? When the first suicide bomber walks into a supermarket in this country. How long do you think that's going to be? You want to sit back and you think everything is just A-okay. I can't wait for them to start sucking the oil out of Alaska, out of the Arctic, out of wherever we got it. I can't wait for them to start pumping that oil out of there. And you know what? If it limits the habitation and the mating habits of the caribou, I feel bad about that. I really do. But I don't want my mating habits limited. You know what I'm talking about? I can't wait for us to start pumping the juice out of up there and wherever else we can get it, and we can finally tell that part of the world, the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and every last funky, hunky, weird-ass one of them, bye. You'll be sorry. You won't give you oil. Yeah, really? You won't give us oil? Well, we got our own. So, see you later. Why doesn't Israel pull out and we can have ourselves a little peace? Yeah, that's going to be real great. Sure, yeah, that'll happen. Yeah, pull out of the West Bank there, man, and then everything's just going to be hunky-dory. Only way anything's going to get chilled out now is if somebody puts a gun, puts a bullet right through Arafat's head, and they get that Sharon out of there. That's the only way anything is going to get done. I guarantee it. You mark my words. Sharon and Arafat, they got to get out of there because both those guys hate each other's guts. And Arafat's a clown anyway, and Sharon is probably too much of a freaking warmonger to get along with anybody. You're going to have to get some people in there that got some guts to sit down and actually have a civil conversation. And I don't know if there's anybody in the Arab world who can do that. I don't know if there's anybody in Israel right now can do that. But they're going to have to get a couple of people, man, woman, mineral, vegetable, animal, I don't know what, to sit down and have a civil conversation and get something worked out down there. You got a 10-year-old kid with a bomb strapped to him, killed 13 Israeli soldiers today. I got to tell you something. No war is ever so helpless that you can't just do the job yourself. So if you need to blow something up, blow yourself up. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. That's not even what I wanted to talk about this hour. What I really wanted to talk about this hour was me. Because we had a really interesting show yesterday concerning ideas. Now, you know what we do in this program. I do a lot of character voices, and I play the parts of different characters when people call in thinking they're talking to a real guy. My idea, actually, it was Genesis, but let's say it's my idea. My idea is to ask you, how do you explain the Phil Hendry show to a friend who has never heard the show? Now, that's our question. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Bob, something tells me you didn't call in about that. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, go ahead, sir. What was your comment?
Well, I was just going to tell you I listen to the show all the time, and I've always loved it. But this is the first time I've ever heard you spout off on political stuff, and I've agreed with you wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. I do it a lot. We did it after 9/11. I'm smart. I'm not dumb like a lot of people say.
No. I never thought you were dumb. I just disagree with a lot of stuff politically because I know I know what your political views are on a lot of stuff because you talk about that kind of stuff a lot, but. I just thought I'd let you know, this is the first time I've actually agreed wholeheartedly.
Well, what do they expect them to do, you know? Well, what are they supposed to do? Okay, we'll pull out, we'll go back, we'll sit down, and then they can come into another supermarket and kill somebody else. Are they nuts?
Exactly.
All these guys want to do is kill Jews and Americans. They've said it over and over and over again.
Exactly, and I don't know why the hell we have any right to tell them what to do. I mean, where do we get off to telling them?
Telling Israel what to do?
Yeah.
We got no right. We got no. Now,
exactly.
Yeah, we do give them a lot of money. We've given them a lot in terms of money and weapons. We have. But the reason I thought we gave them all of that support was to allow them to be autonomous.
I agree.
And how does a country determine its own destiny if we got Colin Powell running off there every 5 minutes telling Israel, now you just better pull back? Oh, yeah? Why? Because we got to give them a Palestinian homeland.
Exactly.
Why? Because we got to keep the Arabs happy. Why? So we get all that oil out of the ground.
Well, we have said if Sharon had come to us and said after 9/11 and said, you know what? You got to be careful. Don't do anything too rash.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Stand back
how many people? How many people we hear saying that?
Yeah.
We hear a lot of people say that. Hey, watch out. Don't get too pissed off. Don't get this thing pushed over the edge, you know. We don't want to get in a world war. Well, guess what? We're in one anyway. So.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Thanks for calling and agreeing. I don't care whether you agree or whether you disagree. This program is an open forum for all who choose to join. Yeah, right. that ain't even what this is about. Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686. So how do you explain the Phil Hendry show to a friend who has never heard it? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
On our show, on the Phil Hendry Show, I play the part of different characters. Sounds a little bit, well, like this. I do my own voice, and I do the voice of a character, and people call in and talk to that character. Like this. The Cerritos on KFIM 640. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I was listening to this thing about the camp, and I called the radio station to ask if it was for real. They said it was and hung up on me.
People call in and talk to these characters. Unfortunately, this cut that I've selected isn't me doing a character voice. So maybe, let me try another one here. Do you fear your nephew is in hell?
I fear that my nephew is not with the Lord. No.
Okay, so anyway, people call in and think that they're real. So how do you describe this show to friends of yours who may have never heard the show? Here's David on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
Hey, I thought, by the way, what you're just talking about was awesome. I thought that was right on the money.
About
I
Israel?
I agree with you totally.
About Israel?
Yeah.
I thought everybody hated Jews in Denver. That's great. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
You.
I'm just joking.
Agreed with you wholeheartedly.
Thank
anyway,
you very much.
I know you guys, I don't think anyway, you know, forgive me if I'm wrong, haven't been on the air for too long in Denver, but I started listening a while back. And I remember the first time I turned on the radio, you were doing a show about a lady who was taking trips or saying that other people were bad parents. It was a kid who was like an actor making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And something like that. Anyway, I remember that show was just infuriating me about, you know, this lady saying you're a bad parent if you don't take your kid on a cruise.
Right.
You know, anyway. So my brother called in. I was kind of telling him what to say. And anyway, honestly, after that, I had learned that I didn't know it was you. I had learned that you were doing the voices.
Uh-huh.
And I honestly felt kind of stupid that I was talking to you and you at the same time.
Right.
You know, I think you're an awesome talk show host.
So how do you describe this show to people that, you know, friends of yours or people that, you know, don't – how do you describe this show to somebody who hasn't heard it?
Actually, the only way I can describe it is, you know, when people have asked me, what is that show all about? All I can really say is it's Phil talking to himself.
Okay, cool.
I mean, that's real. But, I mean, I'm saying it's a funny show, but, you know, this is the first time I've called in. I did feel kind of stupid bringing up. That's almost like walking onto a movie set, slapping the actor, saying, how dare could you rob that bank, you know? But
well, it is kind of like doing that, but it's a, everybody is, I mean, if I were listening to the show, I'd call in and get angry. In
yeah,
fact,
you know,
I've called myself once. How dare you say that? Well, you know I'm saying it. I know, but it still makes me angry.
Oh, I was infuriated over that show. I couldn't believe that there's someone out there like that.
All right, man.
You know, and it made me did feel a little better that there really actually, well, there probably actually is.
Well, that's the scary part, man. I mean, the world, like I say, is gradually catching up to our show. So, like I said, you know, Barbara Walters, 3 weeks ago, we were kidding about her making love to Yasser Arafat, and it comes out this week that she admitted to being turned on by Fidel Castro. So, you see, we're closer to the truth than we think. Here is Brad on the Phil Hendry Show. Brad?
Hey, Phil. Brad here.
How you doing?
I was just driving home from a business trip today and just scanning the AM dial, and I listened to your show, and I just caught the beginning of that guy about the, you know, the kids at MLS station, and
right.
I was just, like, cracking up. And to describe your show to somebody, tonight was the first time I listened to it. It would be Jerry Springer doing an impersonation of Koppel, doing an impersonation of Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live.
Did you know it was me? Did you know it was me doing the voice of that guy?
No, I after I was just listening to it, I was like, going, this guy, it's got to be a farce.
Uh huh.
And it was just, and I called the show like three times. I'm like, going, this is, you got this guy, you know, you got Phil going here. So it was great, and I just laughed all the way home, and it was the first time I've listened to your show. And it
yeah,
was
but
just,
what did you know that it was me doing the voice of the guy?
No, I did not know it was doing you.
When
at
did
all.
You find that out?
Right at the end.
Okay, when I said it?
Yeah, because I've been in radio before, and I listened to that guy's voice. I'm like, going, this guy, you know, whoever's doing that voice, I mean, he had, you know, one of his old-time radio voices. And it was just like going, this guy,
all right.
You know.
Okay, Brad, thanks. So he hasn't been listening to the show long enough to explain it to anybody. He's just now explaining it to himself. All right, well, that's a start. The question is, how do you explain the Phil Hendry Show to a friend who has never heard this show? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I just seen him talking about this oil strike up in the Arctic, the Alaskan Arctic. This may be the second biggest oil strike in American history. Now, we got juice under the ground up there. That's our oil. Let's start pumping it. What are we waiting for? I understand the environmental concerns. We can't have that luxury any longer. We can't sit here and say we want to save caribou habitation and mating habits. Meanwhile, we can start pulling that stuff out of the ground over in Saudi Arabia or Iraq or wherever we're getting it, because who cares about their caribou, right? Well, what is that about? You cats that are into the whole environmental idea of America being one, being a place where every species is protected, every habitat is protected, do you guys drive cars? You must drive cars. Where do you think the juice is coming from? You're going to have to lose one or the other, a caribou or your SUV. I say it's the caribou. We can make an SUV and call it the new Dodge Caribou. Okay, here's Donna on the Phil Hendry Show. Donna.
Hey.
Hi, Donna.
Yeah, you just got me a while ago. That was excellent.
Fabulous. Oh, yeah?
Oh,
yeah? Oh,
man. That was good. That was good. That was really good.
Now, are you the truck driving gal we talked to?
Yeah, that was really good.
When did you find out it was me doing the voice?
The sound effects. Got it right there.
The sound effects?
Yeah, I knew the guy couldn't have any sound effects. And I'm like, oh, man, he got me.
So how would you describe this show to a friend of yours who've never heard it before, Donna?
Honestly,
yeah.
What I tell them, oh man, you got to call this show. And these guys, he's got some people on here you wouldn't even believe. Man, you need to call him. You need to call him. Let them go on stage and get their.
You want to let them get their ass kicked? Is that it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. Send them on. Let them bite that one. Yeah. Yeah.
So in other words, you're not so much interested in promoting the actual texture and content of the Phil Hendry Show, as you just want to see your friends get their asses kicked now on this show.
I don't know. They'll get the content, because they'll get all into it. Oh man, I can't believe that guy's doing that. And yeah, he'll call. Yeah, they'll call in and they'll get embarrassed too. You know.
Cool.
And I think it's a great show. I don't get this in Oklahoma. I live in Oklahoma. I don't get this in my state. But when I'm through here, I'll.
Do you have a computer at home?
Yeah, I have a computer at home, but I'm never home.
All right. Oh, wow. If you ever get home for any length of time, you can go on the internet and find our website, and then you can listen to our show on the internet.
Yeah, I plan on doing that. We have cable soon, so it will come through real good, but I tell you,
the other thing you can do, Oklahoma City, we're in Blackwell, Oklahoma. What's the call letters? You just put it on the screen for 2 seconds there, Chris, and then you knocked it off like I can't, you know. KOKB in Oklahoma City. Now, the other thing you can do is you get this satellite radio. You guys in the trucking business are all over this stuff. I know I've talked to truckers who have that XM radio and that satellite radio.
Yeah, I want to get that.
You get that, because I talked to a guy last week who was listening to the show. He was somewhere in Montana listening to our show on his XM receiver.
XM. Yeah, I've been wanting to get that. That's a pretty nice deal. But
go for it. We're on XM channel 166.
166?
You got it.
I'll be checking it out then when I get that.
All right, Donna.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
You made my dime.
You got it. Thanks for calling. Here is Todd on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Phil.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, man.
First thing I tell people when I tell them about your show is that I think you're, I'm not kissing up here, I think you're one of the most brilliant comedic minds on the planet.
Well, that's nice. But how do you tell them how the show works? I mean, what the show's about?
I tell them, this is how I try to explain it to them. I think 20% of Phil's audience are the people that have no clue, and those are the callers. And the rest are sitting at home peeing in their pants, listening to everyone get suckered into it. That's how I describe it.
But your friend says to you, what do you mean they have no clue? About what?
Well, they think what they're listening to is really happening.
You mean it's not?
Right.
Like, I'm your friend. I'm your friend, okay?
Uh-huh.
You mean it's not, Todd? What isn't real about it?
Well, I explain the voices and, you know, how you don't hear the Phil or the caller, quote-unquote, at the same time.
Okay, and that's how you tip it off. See, you can't hear Phil talking over top of himself.
Right.
Although thank you for your call. I have heard people say, how do you get your own voice to overlap? I don't. Oh, I swear to God, you didn't. No, it never happens. It's one of those audio illusions. You think you're hearing it, but you don't. It's impossible. How could I do that? Well, you must tape record it. No, I don't tape jack. I don't use any cell sync. I don't use any processors. I don't use any special Dolby. We don't use any, we're not using any effects generator. We're just good. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Oliver on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Oliver.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
When I tell people about the show, I don't tell them. Same thing as the woman you just talked to. I just make them listen to the show so I can watch how pissed off they get.
Cool.
The first time I listened to the show was when there was some guy saying that he wanted to reduce the pollution in the ocean, so they were going to walk around on the beaches, and if the people were standing still in the water, you know, they might be peeing or something. So,
right.
So they were going to stop them, make them get out or make them move around.
Yeah,
I was so pissed. I'm like, you can't tell me not to stand still in the water.
Yeah. You know, I don't know about you, Oliver, but when I relieve myself in the ocean, I generally am not walking around. I'm just standing there very comfortably in one place.
Instead of floating,
you know. Or you float, and if you see somebody just standing there with kind of a satisfied smile on their face just in one spot in the ocean, hey, dude, you're peeing. So that's cool, and I think a lot of people do say that to us. You know, I just let my friend listen. And then I let my wife get mad, and then she calls,
right.
And it's really great, and it's really good for our marriage, and that kind of thing. All right, Oliver. Thanks, pal.
Hey, thanks a lot.
See you later. Bye. 1-800-449-8686. Don't tell me you've never peed in the ocean. Don't tell me you've never peed in someone's pool. And don't tell me you've never peed in someone's hot tub. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Henry, and this is another edition of Where Have You Peed Lately? Guy standing there just holding a beer, standing in one place in the ocean. Hey, dude, move around. Why are you standing still? Well, it's, you know, oh, urinating, huh? Fool me, man. Here's Mark on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Great show, great show. I got to tell you, bullseye. I mean, we've got to cut off ties with the Middle East. With all that oil, you were telling me they just got a new strike in Alaska. We got unknown amounts of oil coming
in. They got the Secretary of the Interior on TV the other day talking about how we had a huge bunch of oil up in the Arctic Circle of Alaska.
And the silliest thing in these commercials where they got the caribou and the polar bear, they go, this is the son of caribou and polar bear walking around happy in Alaska. But if we start drilling for oil, they're going to get all pissed off.
Oh, so I see. So, in other words, what are we supposed to do? Keep sucking it out of the ground over in Saudi Arabia? Do any of these people that are so concerned with the environment wonder what it's doing to the Saudi Arabian environment or the Iraqi environment? Or are those towel heads not worried about? In other words, if it's a towel head moose, they don't care about it. All the moose over there wear towels. Is that it?
Exactly.
You
well, even
I
after
mean,
Desert Storm, they set all those wells on fire.
Yeah, they set them on
huge
fire.
Huge plumes of fire just streaming out of the ground.
And we ran over there like good little boys and girls and capped all the wells. And
they've got more oil than they have water. They stick their staff in the ground and oil pops out. Water doesn't come out.
I mean, it's cool that they have all of that resource
right.
at their disposal.
But then they're killing each other.
And here's
the
thing,
just,
man.
They hate
it's
each
like,
other
it's like
so
giving,
bad.
Well, it's like giving gold to to a syphilitic Al Capone. You know, he's just insane. He's babbling on his deathbed, and he's got all this money. It's like this completely debauched and degraded society sitting on all of this wealth. They know not what to do with it. They do know what to do with it. They formed OPEC, and they're, you know, sucking a lot of money out of us for it. But in the meantime, they haven't got one responsible human being over there running one country. There's nobody over there that's got 14 cents worth of brains. Nobody over there that would ever be let out of a padded cell over here. And they're running countries. And we got to sit there, send over our Secretary of State so he can stand there with his hat in his hand and go, is everybody happy? How can we help? Please, are we tired of it yet? Have we finally had enough of that? Aren't we tired of putting on those phony smiles for the, hi, how you doing? Yeah. Yeah, Palestinian homeland. Yeah, I really care about that. Okay. Sure, whatever you say. How do you go against Israel? These are a bunch of people who, it's a country formed out of the ashes of the Holocaust where Jews were butchered up. And that ain't the first time. Every century that has gone by since the death of Christ, Jews have been getting killed somewhere, thrown out of a country someplace. dragged behind a horse, dragged behind a truck, blamed for the Black Death, blamed for every problem, blamed for the death of Jesus, blamed for the Protestant Reformation, blamed for tidal waves, blamed for weather patterns. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. I'm telling you that the Jews in the Middle Ages were blamed for the Black Death. Until finally, the world finally got a little bit of conscience and said, look, nobody wants these people. Don't you think that an act of the United Nations could form a homeland? Well, all of a sudden the Palestinians, who everybody says are Arabs, there are Jewish Palestinians. There's no such thing as a completely Arab Middle East. There are Jewish people who came from that part of the world too. And there were Jewish Palestinians as well as Arab Palestinians when that whole thing went down in 1948. So they tried to do the best they could. They tried to partition the land. Well, that's not good enough. Holy war is declared. The armies of the Arabian world are mobilized, and the call is set out to invade and destroy Israel. Little problem, though, their armies couldn't stand up to a fart, let alone the Israeli army, and guess what? It took about 6 whole days for Israel to defeat Egypt, Syria, and Jordan. That's how good the Arabs are when it comes to somebody shooting back at them. I mean, I'm telling you that Israel, if you don't know the history of the Six-Day War, they attacked Egypt, then they put their soldiers in trucks and raced them across the width of their country and went into an attack against Jordan. This is how hardcore the Israeli army is. Nobody beats those guys. Nobody. Man for man, probably the best armed forces in the world. Man for man. Man for man, the best air force in the world. And that's acknowledged by everybody. You think those people are going to lay down? And do you honestly think that a bunch of people that don't know how to shoot a gun or how to fight back against somebody that's fighting back against them, you think the Arabs are going to beat Israel? The only thing that's going to beat Israel is if they get a knife sunk into their back by America. That's what's going to kill that country, if we stick the knife in their back. And don't you know they're beginning to feel that a little bit? Then the Yom Kippur War. And then finally the Arabs decided, you know what, we're not too good at this army thing. We're not too good at this war thing. I know, let's take our 10-year-old kids, tie bombs to them, and have them go into supermarkets and down alleys. There you go. What a plan. Think that's going to work? You're going to get yourself an extension of the world war that we now find ourselves in. We got American troops in Afghanistan. We want to see American troops in the Middle East there, in Jerusalem, Israel, Palestine. The world is at war right now, whether you want to believe it or not. This is World War III. It's a subtle war. It's a war that's sporadic. It's one that has its hot flashes and its low points, its cold moments and its hot moments. But it's a war nonetheless, and it has now spread to one of our allies, Israel, in the Middle East. And anybody that's given me this song and a dance about how the Palestinians are being oppressed right now by the invasion of the Israeli armed forces, the Israeli defense forces, they just had people walking into hair salons and pizza parlors blowing themselves up. What the hell are they supposed to do? Oh, okay, yeah, you're right. Just sit on your hands and not do anything. And just take it. Just sit there and bleed. As the man said. All right, weren't we talking about my show? How come you guys got me back on this Middle East thing? Now look at me, you've maddened me. I hardly know myself. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The question on the table is, how do you describe the Phil Hendry Show to a listener, or to a friend, I should say, who has never before heard the show? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, back in a minute.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, the show where I play not only myself, but I play the the part of different guests on the show, and then people call thinking they're talking to a real person, and it's sometimes pretty funny. 1-800-449-8686. How would you describe the show to a friend of yours who'd never heard it before? Here's Kelly on the Phil Henry Show. Kelly?
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Kelly.
I would never describe your show to a friend of mine.
Why?
Because it's so funny.
And you want them, like
want
so many others?
I want them to think that it's real.
You do.
I didn't know it was fake for about 4 months.
4 months?
Just about.
4 months you sat there thinking these were real people.
Yes, I did.
All right, how was it described to you and when you finally found out about it?
Actually, my husband described it to me, and he put me onto your website.
What did he say? Okay.
He made me read your, you know, biography.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized that it wasn't real people.
So let's say I told you, okay, just this one time, Kelly, okay. I want you to describe it to a friend of yours. How would you do that?
It's the funniest show on the radio. It's this guy who does all these crazy voices, and people call in actually thinking that it's real.
Did you color inside the lines when you were a kid, by the way, Kelly?
No, I still don't.
I don't think you did. I don't think you did. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you have a backstage pass?
No, I do not.
Oh, you got to get that because then you can hear the show anytime you want.
I need to because my favorite's Bobby Dooley, and I always miss your show.
Yeah, we did Bobby today.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, you're going to have to get the backstage pass, then you get the 30-day archive, and then you can stop eating those paint chips.
Okay. I think I might do that.
All right, Kelly, thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
Bye. Here is Patrick on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Fine, thank you.
Well, I've been listening to your show for about 4 years. It actually took me about 3 shows to catch on. Actually, I was kind of upset on the second one. So I can't believe Phil's not, figuring out that this guy is the same guy that called in the other day. You know, then about the third show, I figured, you know, I heard it was the same voice, and I could tell it was the same tone. And then after that, it was just, you know, I was hooked.
Cool.
I was at a truck stop. I'm a truck driver down in San Marcos, Texas, and I was. They had an XM radio set up, and they had the XM on preview channels. You know, where they go through all the channels.
Right.
And it just happened to be on one of your shows. And they were playing one of your skits, and I was just sitting there listening to it, and I was just laughing my ass off because I actually remember one of the bits that they were playing. And the guy was like, well, another driver had walked up and asked me, you know, what show that was. Well, it's the Phil Henry Show. And I was just kind of explaining to him, well, it's Phil, he's there by him. Well, I'm not saying that you're there by yourself, but you do the show by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you just came, and I told him that you disguise your voice, acting like you're other people calling in about, you know, either about issues of that day or just something you made up, and then that people actually call in.
And how was this guy looking at you through all of this?
Well, he was kind of interested, you know, because, you know, he was actually listening to there, and, you know, the people were calling in arguing them and just screaming and yelling. It was one bit that you were arguing with some old lady.
Those are generally the best bits. Whenever we get it to arguing with old women, there's no topping that. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Question this hour, how do you explain the Phil Henry Show to a friend who's never heard it? But you're listening to it right now. Well, how would you describe it? See? No, don't look at me. I don't know how to describe this thing either. We'll be right back.